In today's gospel reading, great crowds follow Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Please notice that he didn't count the crowds, how many people were there, or have his disciples document how many people were following him. He wasn't concerned about whether he drew bigger crowds than John the Baptist or other leading teachers and healers. Before he began to speak, Jesus went up on a mountain channeling Moses and spoke to his disciples. He was more interested in instructing his students than in wowing the crowd. Last week, we heard Jesus proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." And we took some time to think about what God's kingdom or reign looks like. We also named how different Jesus' reign was from the reign of Rome and most other nations and leaders. And we noted how threatening Jesus' message that the kingdom had come near was to Rome. In Matthew, the Beatitudes, Jesus' series of teachings beginning, "Blessed are," appears at the beginning of his public ministry. Their placement indicates that the Beatitudes function in part like Jesus' mission statement. They give us a deeper understanding of what this kingdom of God is going to look like. According to the Beatitudes, in God's kingdom or reign, Jesus will bless people who are self-giving, including those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, pure in heart, and those who make peace. Jesus will also bless those who are vulnerable, hurt, those who mourn, the meek, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In Greek, the word here translated blessed is actually better translated fortunate, enviable, or satisfied, as in fortunate are the peacemakers, enviable are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and satisfied are those who are pure in heart. Those who are oriented toward others in a posture of humility and love, those who are hurting and persecuted, appear to be at peace. Perhaps because they have no illusion that they can rely on their strength alone. Today, the day of our annual meeting, the one day we officially gather as a congregation each year, I want us to continue to think about how God is calling us to live as followers of the way of Jesus, but this time in an era of self-promotion, celebrity, narcissism, vanity, tribalism, prejudice, and an emphasis on strength and power at the expense of the weak and vulnerable. The Beatitudes spoken by Jesus cast an utterly different, contrary picture of life in God. It's a generous and expansive life, a life of love and gratitude, a life where the weak are valued as much as the strong, a life where people hunger and thirst for righteousness as much as they hunger and thirst for a meal cooked by a celebrity chef at a five-star restaurant. When we look at our reading from 1 Corinthians, we are reminded of how truly countercultural the message and way of life offered by Jesus really is. The fact that God sent his Son in love, that Jesus died on a cross, and that the cross is the place where the love and power of God are most fully revealed, is pure foolishness in the eyes of the world. In his life and on the cross, Jesus displayed servant leadership, humility, and vulnerability. And he absorbed the endless cycle of violence into himself rather than perpetuating it. Where do we see the kind of leadership displayed by Jesus and the vision of life cast in the Beatitudes in our world today? I am hard-pressed to find an example. Nations and leaders want power and glory and to surround themselves with like-thinking, famous, and powerful people. In the fictional book Lamb, Christopher Moore portrays Jesus' scribe Levi, otherwise known as Biff, as baffled by the people surrounding Jesus. He asks Jesus why he has to have these people on his team. Why can't the powerful, well-resourced, and good-looking people be on Team Jesus? And this is no commentary on all of you, by the way. No commentary. When Jesus chooses to share what we call the Beatitudes on the mountain with his disciples, he is attempting to expand their imaginations so they can glimpse what the reign of God looks like. He points to the reality they are now a part of by virtue of accepting Jesus' invitation to follow me. What is the role of the Holy Spirit bringing together Jesus' followers as the body of Christ or church, and what are we called to do and be at this particular moment in history? Who is God inviting us to be, and how is God calling us to respond to words, decisions, and actions with which we do not agree? St. Matthew's Way of Jesus, which emerged from the Holy Spirit working in and through many conversations among the people of St. Matthew's, is a helpful GPS for us at this time. It consists of 8 spiritual practices: prayer, generosity, gratitude, hospitality, reconciliation, simplicity, and discernment. They sound simple and doable. But living the way of Jesus daily takes courage, accountability, and the support of others committed to the same way of life. Ever since St. Matthew's Way of Jesus emerged, we have gathered together consistently to learn more about and engage in these practices together and to try them out in our families and workplaces and the places we volunteer. More recently, we have focused on training the people of St. Matthew's in deep listening with the help of Dan Anderson and spiritual directors from Christos. I have often wondered if God might be calling us to be the church that listens. Those called to a discernment ministry have met monthly to learn how to put their own agendas aside, ask leading questions, and pay attention to how the Holy Spirit is speaking through the person seeking discernment. In our faith forums and other gatherings, we are also learning how to share the truth as we see and experience it in ways that are life-giving and respectful. Whatever others do and say, even when they are challenging who we are and our most deeply held beliefs, God would never have us lose sight of their humanity and dignity. In the days ahead, let us continue to commit ourselves to building bridges instead of walls, reaching out to the vulnerable and powerless so they can tell us how we can best walk alongside them at this time of hurtful rhetoric and many unknowns. When I close my eyes and think of each of you serving as Christ's ambassadors in the metro area and beyond, in classrooms, homeless shelters, and boardrooms, with children, refugees, the disabled, and those in need of love and support, I feel hopeful. This is a time to hunger and thirst for righteousness and to work for a vision of life that seeks the good of all God's people. This is a time when followers of Jesus who are Democrats and Republicans, male and female, young and old, white and black, must come together in prayer and must model a different vision of life. The reign of God, a taste of which we have in the Beatitudes. My prayer for the people of St. Matthew's in 2017 is that we deepen our spiritual practice, our commitment to neighbors who are struggling, our listening skills, our ability to share the life-changing faith that Jesus gave us, and our commitment to following the Holy Spirit wherever she may lead. And let us never forget how hard it is to act in a spirit of love if we have not given God the time and space to cultivate and deepen our inner spiritual life. Our practice of prayer, scripture reading, and reflection will feed and support our ability to listen and any actions we may take, and our commitments and actions will inform our prayers. He has told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Amen.